And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. I just stayed off Twitter last night. I wasn't about to go there. Bucks lose a game that the Pacers are a good team. See, I don't get too discouraged about the wins and losses part of it. Bucks lose to the Pacers last night, 113-97. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. So they lose. They start 7-0, then they go 11-9. I'm not so much worried about that. They're still number two in the East, and even if they just like, even if this team really screws up and gets the eight seed, I'm not going to be worried. I'm really not. I think this team, like I said last year, come playoff time, you'll have a year of experience, a year of gelling, a year of learning under your new coach, and then you go from there. But I think some people are upset that they are losing certain ways. Last night was a tougher loss. Last night were some things that the Bucks need to diagnose. Maybe there is a blueprint for how you can beat the Bucks. So again, I don't go crazy every time this team loses, but I think you can look at last night and say, okay, if you're an opposing team, isolate Giannis, don't let him get the ball after he passes it, and then if those guys go cold, they're going to go cold. Like last night was a night where you needed Bledsoe and Middleton to step up. Bledsoe did. Middleton did not. He was 4 of 18 shooting, 0 for 7 from 3, 10 points. Middleton, this is a greater issue because he's averaging 11 points in the month of December, and he hasn't put up at least 20 points since November 24th against the Spurs. So I think that if you're upset or worried or concerned about the Bucks, you see last night's game, and maybe there's some reasons to do that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's in a prolonged slump right now. Since, for forever, it seems. And he's putting up some bad... I mean, his shooting percentage the last 2 weeks has just got to be terrible. But it's 4 for 18 last night, 0 for 7 from three-point land. That's not going to get me to any more... It's not going to push me to want to sign that guy to a $25 million contract or whatever it is. That's not going to get it done. He's not been the second-best player on the team. And for whatever reason, he's struggling. But we've seen stretches of him struggle last year and years before, but man, need better consistency out of mids if that's the case. And if he's going to be the second best player in this team, he's going to get some criticism if he has the stretches like this. That's going to happen.
Look, I'm on board with keeping Middleton here and paying him what it's going to cost to do that if he plays like he was up until maybe 2 weeks ago. This December version of Chris Middleton, you're not going to pay someone $30 million if they're going to average 10 points a night.
But we've seen stretches like this before, Bart. We've seen this before out of him. And, man, this was a difficult run watching that last night. I mean, wide open looks, boink, clank, right off the back of the rim. It's like, God, can you hit one shot at least? Stop. The other night on Twitter against Golden State, I put on Twitter, stop shooting, mids. Please stop. Don't shoot anymore. Stop. He was killing the team by shooting. Every time he had an open look from the wing, no good. It's like, God, enough. Don't shoot. Connaughton, somebody else shoot, but not Middleton.
Connaughton didn't play again last night, and DiVincenzo's lost some playing time, too. They're giving a lot of run to Sterling Brown.
You know, Connaughton, they said the other night against Cleveland, broadcasters were saying that they sat him because he was going through a tough stretch of shooting, too. Okay. But, man, he sat again. Got to be something more than that.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with Middleton. Middleton, so the saga on Middleton is two Saturdays ago, he gets benched against the Knicks. And the Bucks lose that game. Those kind of losses where they're close, even if it's a bad team, I feel like you can learn from that and you take, I remember in that game we did this, let's do this time. I think close losses are fine. In an 82-game season, you learn from a close loss. A loss like last night, where you get exposed maybe in some areas where a guy is just continuing a slump, those are more frustrating to look at. So you go back to that game against the Knicks, Middleton benched, really, for a lack of effort. Then he doesn't come on Wednesday. He didn't show up to the game against the Nuggets or against the Pistons. Bucks win, but they don't have Chris Middleton, and we're told he's not with the team, and it's for personal reasons. We talked to John Horst on Tuesday, and we asked him about it, and he says, just like people at their jobs, they have a personal thing come up. We all do. He had to miss a day of work, and that's it. I mean, and if there's something going on with his personal life, I don't know if we need to know that. I don't know if we need to, really dissect that. But as Trey says on Twitter, personal life is your personal life. But if you're going to show up then to the game, you've got a ball. If you got a personal problem and you need to step away from a little bit, then maybe you need to step away. But if you're going to come to the game, you've got to do better than 4 of 18 against the Pacers. You've got to do better than 4 of 14 against the Golden State Warriors. You got to do better for Chris Middleton to average more than 11.2 points a game. We found out last night, at least Malcolm Brogdon says Middleton's been sick. I don't know what that means. I don't know. There are like 100 definitions for the word sick, so I'm not sure what it means. Frankly, right now, we don't know what's going on with Chris Middleton off the court, but we know that he's not playing very well on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you show up to the game and you're healthy enough to play, you better give a good effort. They're pay- 'cause the Bucks are paying you good money to play. We as fans paying good money to get into that place and paying money for concessions and all that so they could pay you to play, to go out there and perform. And when you're not performing, and whatever the reason is, yeah, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be issues because, yeah, if you make a lot of money and you are given a lot of money to perform, you better at least show effort. And, man, just sometimes I don't know. I don't know with Middleton.
It's just there's always a polarizing figure on the Bucks, and there's always – they've got this core, and they've had this core for a couple of years, but new pieces are kind of coming in and out of the core. Jabari Parker was the number two pick in the draft, and they were going to build the team around him, and then they hit on the lottery ticket that was Giannis. So for a while, you look at the core as Giannis, Middleton, and Parker. And then maybe even Greg Monroe. And then the Parker thing doesn't work out. He's obviously gone. Bledsoe comes in the Greg Monroe deal. So now you've got this core of Giannis, Bledsoe, and Middleton. Mm-hmm. And now you're thinking, well, maybe Middleton is not a part of the core. He could get traded. He very well could get traded. He's an expiring deal. You could package that with Snell and get even more cap room for next offseason to extend Bledsoe and extend Brogdon and maybe get a piece like Beal or whoever you want to throw, Bradley Beal with the Wizards. So it is possible. It's also possible that they pay him $30 million. You know, when we talked to John Horst, the one thing that sort of, I think John Horst does a good job of not, he says stuff, but he doesn't really say a lot of, you know what I'm saying? Like, it makes you feel like said something.
But I mean, whether it's him or Stearns or Gutekunst or whatever.
They're not going to tell you, I'm texting Kobe Altman right now to make a trade.
No, and they're not going to say, well, so-and-so player, him and the coach aren't getting along these days. He's not going to do that.
But last year, when we talked to him about Parker, the indication was that Parker was in their long-term plans. He was not. We asked him about Middleton. The indication is he's in their long-term plans. And I think we just got to wait and see. And mm-hmm. and I almost think that the NBA is so fluid. Like, Eric Bledsoe was absolutely the worst player on the court in that series against Boston. It was, yeah. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Now, when you watch this Bledsoe, he has risen to the challenge. He sees Chris Middleton struggling. He rises up. Maybe the core is Giannis, Bledsoe, and somebody else. Maybe Bledsoe is more important to the Bucks' future than Middleton is, which... On Tuesday, John Horst said Middleton is our second best player, and it seems like every night Eric Bledsoe is doing more and more to prove that that's not true.
Well, they're going to need Middleton to perform well if they're going to do well in the Eastern Conference. There's no doubt about it. If you have nights like that, you continue to struggle, that's going to be bad. I mean, he was great in the Boston series last year, but the last two and a half weeks has not been very good. You can't have that. If you're going to contend, you need your number two guy on this team, or three guy has got to be consistent. You need three good pieces. Bledsoe has been playing great. Giannis, a tough night last night, but I mean, Giannis don't have 4 of 7 shooting 12-point nights very often, and he couldn't get to the lane. Another thing too is watching that game last night is you're thinking, boy, is that the blueprint on how to beat the Bucks right now? Just clog the lane, and whatever the Pacers were doing defensively, it was working.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue is the tweet from Matt Velasquez where he tweeted out what Giannis had said, and I'm going to pull that up here. I don't have it right at me, but it's important to read verbatim so that I don't get a fact about Giannis wrong like I did yesterday and then freak out about it. Giannis said, I try to limit, or about his limited offensive output. I try to pass the ball, make the right play all the time. I never had the ball last night. I had multiple defenders around me. I had to pass the ball, and the game did not come back to me. We never as a team forced the issue for the game to come back to me. My team wants me to be unselfish. I'm going to pass the ball, and that's going to be it.
What do you read into that?
I read like he's not happy how the game plan went last night, and that if Giannis isn't happy,
yeah,
that ain't good.
No.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, know what I'm saying?
He's happy there, but he wasn't happy last night when he made his statement.
I'm playing for not either. I just role play at night.
Yeah, he was happy there too. But he was not, yeah. Giannis has got to take the ball literally into his own hands and don't give up the rock so easily. And if he does, man, those guys better hit the three. But their game plan is, you know, Giannis take the ball down the lane, clear out, post up. Giannis is the only, you know, Middleton's never posting up anymore. You remember last year under Prunty and, what's his name, Jason Kidd, you saw Middleton post up all the time. You never see mids post up anymore. It's the Giannis is the only guy who's posting up.
Tweet from John says, Chris Middleton needs to dribble less. He's good for 2 turnovers a game where he gets into I'm Allen Iverson mode, and then he dribbles into a crowd of 3. Iverson can do that. Middleton, not advised. If he can work on ironing out the roller coaster streaks, he's still, at best, $18 to $20 million a year. Hey, not a bad life. 414-799-1250. You can chime in. You can also continue the conversation. Some good stuff going on Twitter and Facebook. Follow us there at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Coming up, the Brewers have announced their promotions. We're going to try to, we might see which ones are the best, if we all like the same one. Because I think there's a fanny pack they're giving away, which I'm interested in. And also more from Aaron Rodgers, who spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him next. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Inside the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, our friends over at Bryant and Stratton College. It seems like every couple of months they've got a new announcement. Greg Brander, when he was with us at the Toy Drive, teased a big one coming. This is close to that. They are, and this is through the athletics department, they are launching a competitive esports program to start in the fall of 2019. They are going to be the first college in Wisconsin to offer esports as part of the National Association of Collegiate Esports, which is the governing body to more than 100 colleges and universities. They're going to offer men's, co-ed, and women's teams that will hold full-size rosters. So you can now, I think there's some big, I think one of the Big Ten schools has this.
So do you have to go to college there to belong to this?
Well, yeah, it's just like you can't play college volleyball if you're not in college.
So that's what it is. It's just an extracurricular.
It's going to be the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to go and play esports, is that even what you say? Is it do esports? Is it play esports?
Well, you got me.
Is it participate in esports? Is it, I don't know. If you want to go, let's say do. If you want to go do esports collegiately, Bryant and Stratton College is the way to go. BSCBobcats.com. So they just announced that yesterday, and we're proud to talk about it. It's esports for college. I played a lot of video games in college, Chuck, but I never played esports.
We had Atari. And I was at the store last night, and I saw Atari on sale. Bill just told me he bought Atari for his new house. But yeah, that was my extent of playing video games and handheld Mattel Electronics football.
The first 2 weeks of college, so I was a freshman in 2006 at lacrosse. The first 2 weeks is like that's when you like find your friends, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you meet people. But I was so shy, and one of my buddies from Fond du Lac that went to lacrosse too, we bought a copy of NFL Blitz and we just played it in his room for 2 weeks, and we met like nobody. And so we were behind the ball on friends because we were busy gaming.
And you couldn't go to the bars because you're underage.
Sure.
Well, that's just too bad.
Yeah, we couldn't go to the bars because I was underage.
Well, I mean, if you went to the bars, that's how you... I mean, don't you... like me, you met people in your major, don't you? You meet people in your major and you start hanging out with those people.
Major dorms was big.
Yeah.
Living in the dorms. I know a lot of people still from the dorms.
Yeah. I still got Facebook page people on Facebook who I... When I live in towers, I'm Facebook friends with. Haven't seen those people in 30 years.
God, the worst part about the first week of college, well, after the NFL Blitz week, is trying to find, like, and okay, you're underage, whatever. This isn't new. You're trying to find where to drink. Mm-hmm. Where am I going to drink? So you hear about these things called house parties. So you walk around your little college area, like hoping you see a guy drinking in the backyard so you can go up to him and say, hey, you having a house party? Can I come in? And people are like, get out of here, you stupid freshman. You're not invited.
Yeah. Unless you have $5 to get in.
Yeah. And then come midnight, they say, oh, guys, the cops are coming. So y'all scatter. Yeah. So they take all the money they profited off you, and they go blow it at the bar.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Kids, if you're going to college, don't have a party in your room. Don't bring alcohol in your room, because you'll get busted every time in that one.
Yeah.
People still do that. Kids, bringing alcohol into the dorm, you're going to get busted.
Yeah, don't get busted.
Don't get busted. Do you remember your very first day on campus? Very first day.
Nah.
I got there at about like 9:30 at night at Eau Claire, and there was nobody around.
I don't think I do.
I was like, man, it's quiet around here.
No, I really don't think I do.
Yeah. Did you take a car up there? Did you drive? Did your parents drop you off?
My parents drove me.
Okay. And then they head back.
And then it's like, goodbye, Barty. I'm like, shut up, Mom. Just go, Mom.
Yeah.
And then my parents leave, and then I call them when they're in Toma, and I go, come back. I don't want to be here.
You did not.
Scared.
You did not.
Not that day, but I was homesick. Yeah. I was homesick. Yeah. I almost transferred back to go to Fond du Lac.
See, I think everybody gets a little bit of homesick, though. There's different levels. There's different levels of it. I think everybody does, because you're away from home for the first time.
Yeah, I had it bad.
Well, the Badgers walked Michigan bad.
Bad. I had it bad.
You know what? Although, when we dropped Shannon's daughter off at UW Eau Claire, she couldn't have us leave fast enough. That's how excited she was to be at college. And we've barely heard from her since. That's all.
I was going to say, maybe she's just putting on a show for the people around her, but if you haven't heard from her.
No. She loves it. She loves it. She's having a good time. And that's great. I figured that was going to be the case. So, cool. I mean, I think when your kid goes away to college, my kid's at UW Lacrosse, same thing. He went to lacrosse, loves it up there, lives there in the summertime event. Same place you went to college. Yeah, he wasn't calling me and telling me to go pick him up. He got a job up there and he loves it. So college is a great experience. Oh, it was a fun 5.5 years.
If you listen real close to Chuck and Winkler, you might hear a joke.
Yeah.
But you really got to be in tune and you might hear something funny.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yesterday, I went to the toy drive. Not the toy drive. We went to the drop off the presents at the Wisconsin, at the Children's Hospital.
You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, you and I were there at the Winter Festival, and then, you know, you and I had to go to a funeral in South Milwaukee. I have not been to South Milwaukee, in a long time. And there are certain parts of South Milwaukee I have never seen. Believe it or not, I thought I've seen every part of Milwaukee County. Certain parts of South Milwaukee, and I'll tell you, it doesn't sound like I've missed too much along the line. When you go to South Milwaukee, and I'm telling you, and I say this as a compliment to South Milwaukee, you turn your watch back to 1974 because it's the way it is. You feel like you're going through small town northern through Wisconsin, and that's great because there's small businesses in that downtown area. There's pizza places. Those places are thriving, hopefully, and I love it, man. It's a little taste of Americana going through South Milwaukee. Man, I appreciated that. That was cool. I had not been there in certain parts ever, but you know, I've not been to South Milwaukee in many, many years. But it's just like its own area, South Milwaukee. It's just different from everywhere else in Milwaukee County.
The funeral home, I thought, was a bar when I drove by it.
And there's a few corner bars in South Milwaukee, too.
Yeah, more than a few.
There's a place called Bottoms Up that I'm not quite sure what it is, but it was called Bottoms Up. And they had a picture of a girl on there. I'm like, in South Milwaukee, in good old wholesome South Milwaukee? What kind of place is this?
What was the name of that bar that was, it's not in South Milwaukee, but I think it's in West Allis. It was a big news story like 8 months ago. It was like Puncher in the Face Bar, Knockout Dragger Bar. What was that bar called?
Yeah, I don't remember, but I kind of know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Hitter and Dragger or something. Punch.
It was not called the Spotlight. I know
Dragger
that.
Dragger Bar, West Allis.
Yeah.
What was the name of that thing? Walker in, Dragger out.
Oh.
Did they change their name? No, they kept it.
Well, today's world, you better not have that anymore.
Yeah, how can that? If you're going to take Baby It's Cold Outside off the radio, you got to change the name and walk her in, drag her out.
Well, yeah. Don't even get me started on the way America is changing. But let's just say South Milwaukee was a fun trip yesterday.
Well, South Milwaukee's not changing. That's why
you're
so
not
fond of
it. No, it is. I'm not saying I'm moving to South Milwaukee tomorrow, but I'm Chuck Freeman. May make a night out in South Milwaukee some night. We might make a little visit, revisit. Saw they had a Mexican restaurant there.
Sure. Hit it up, man.
Yeah, a few Italian restaurants, pizza place.
Yeah, go wild.
I'm going to do it some night.
Do they have a hotel for you to stay at, or do people just sleep on the street?
The South Milwaukee Inn, I think it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can check that out at any time you'd like.
You weren't, when you visited, you weren't like, wow, a little different here.
I got to be honest with you, I didn't see much because I was on my phone the whole time while I was driving into town.
Oh, you didn't notice while you're on the phone?
Nope. I was locked in on my phone.
Okay.
It was not safe, but you forced me into saying it. So I did.
You don't have the earpiece?
Nope. Well, I was looking at Twitter.
Oh, you were looking at Twitter while you were driving? Oh, Bart. You're going to pay the price for that someday. Hopefully not.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. You know who's not going to be happy with me are the boys over at Hyundai West Allis, where I am leasing one of their cars.
Yeah, when you talk about that, driving and following Twitter on I-94, what do they say?
The other day, I was telling you that I got caught in a drive-thru, and so I had to hop the median because I was going to be late.
Yeah.
Dan, the manager there at Hyundai West Allis, is like, hey, I heard that story where you're hopping medians.
Yeah.
You want to take care of that thing a little bit better? Yeah, okay.
You tell me about repeating stories.
No, this is a reference.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that I told it before.
So
you tell stories like they're brand new.
Well, yeah, I have to. We may have a new audience.
Fair point.
New audience.
Well, for a new audience that doesn't know, I bought my car, leasing my car, at Hyundai West Allis. It's a Santa Fe Sport. It's a Hyundai, and I love it. And I am taking good care of it, despite what I may tell you on the radio. Hyundai West Allis, Highway 100, part of the International Autos family. They've got the BMWs, the Audis. They've got all these different vehicles over right off Arthur. Highway 100 in Arthur, between National and Lincoln over there in West Allis. Really great group of guys. I mean, Dan, who I would say he didn't scold me when I told that story, but he told me in a friendly manner. He's a veteran. He served. He's a great guy. They always do give a little whatever they can for veterans. If you're a veteran in any way, go find Dan, and they will help you out for sure. If you listen to this right now, get over there. Definitely. They are going to give deep, deep discounts when you go over there and tell them that you heard about them on The Fan. I'm talking about him. Ellerson's got a car from them, so get on over there. No matter who you say you heard it from, as long as it's 1250 or SSP or The Fan or whatever you know us by, the Bart and Chuck Variety Hour, any of it. Let them know, and they'll give you big-time discounts. December is a great month to go buy a vehicle because Hyundai's like, hey, guys, we need some of those old ones off the lot so we can give you the new ones. And then the dealership's like, well, we got to get rid of these. So even more discounts. So check them out. Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100, and Arthur, HyundaiWestDallas.com.
You know me, I like to always eat. I'm a later in the evening kind of guy to eat food. I like to eat dinner like around 8 or 9 o'clock.
I murder the English language.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't.
Later-er?
Yeah, later. Oh, God. I never said I didn't.
Okay.
Rhodes is another one. He left the room, but Rhodes, man. You talk about somebody murders the English language. Rhodes, he can't hear me
He's
now.
He's out of the room. What are
He's
you doing?
He's out of Rhodes, but Rhodes, man.
What are you doing?
Rhodes.
He's not in here to defend himself.
You know, okay, I think English is a second language for him.
Where did that come from?
Friday started at 10 o'clock.
And then right back into his read. That was about an hour ago. Cody Grant, we call him Rhodes.
Hey, Rhodes.
Just getting buried by Chuck about an hour ago. Cody had no idea any of that happened and probably wouldn't if we didn't play it for him just now. Cody, your response, if you can get the words out right?
Well, I mean, he's not really too true wrong. Like, you know.
He's not so, true wrong. He's not true wrong about it, yeah. Chuck.
Yeah, well, anyways, going back to what I was saying, though, about that is, like, my shortcomings of the English language have happened my entire life, but really it's a testament how talented I really am when it comes to radio, considering how far I've gotten in my career so far with my shortcomings of the English language.
Yeah, I think all three of us, yeah. From time to time.
I butcher so many words.
Oh,
I'm
first to admit to that. I do it.
Minute-to-minute basis.
First to admit to that.
See, sometimes people think, like, if I do this, if I go, the thing with Chris, it sounds like I'm stuttering. I'm killing time because I don't have much else to say. So that's...
No, but admit it, you butchered a language. Not that, but I mean, we all three of us done it. So.
Well, yeah, speaking is hard.
It is. I don't know why we do this for a living.
No, none of us are qualified.
I don't know what else could I do.
I'm just bad at it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of good opinions, but I just don't know how to get them out.
Should we all three be writers? Maybe. All the writers in this town want to be on radio anyway, so why don't we just be the writers?
Well, but there's no writers' jobs to be had anymore. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why we got to do this.
Shoot. Yeah. Okay.
All the writers want to be do this. Been happening for years.
Yeah. Hey, the Brewers put out their giveaway schedule. They've announced 12 dates so far. There's bobbleheads for Jesus Aguilar, Jeremy Jeffress, Prince Fielder, Josh Hader, a to-be-announced bobblehead, and then Christian Yelich. So some good bobbleheads available. And then there's the short-sleeve T-shirt, a can holder, a Brewers fanny pack, a trucker hat, a strap-back hat, and then a Cecil Cooper replica jersey. Any of those stand out to you right now as your favorite frames?
What would you think?
What would I think?
What would you think? See? What would you think?
I would think you would want the Cecil Cooper replica jersey.
There you go.
Yeah?
Yeah. That would be like the first thing. I would circle that date and make sure I'm going to it.
Well, let's do this. Let's pretend like we have a 12-pack of games.
Okay.
And we'll draft based on the giveaways. You have the list in front of you?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Cody?
Yes.
I've got the list in front of me, too, all spur of the moment. So, Chuck, let's give Chuck the first pick in the draft.
Okay.
That's fair.
Guess what I'm going to take in the first pick of the draft?
I'm going to say the Cecil Cooper.
No, not the trucker hat.
Jersey?
I'll take the Cecil Cooper replica jersey. I would think this would probably be the 80s jersey that they're going to do this with.
Like the powder blue?
The powder blue.
I love those jerseys, by the way.
I would think that. I'll take the Cooper replica jersey.
We'll do a quick draft here, and then we'll put it online and see.
And pray that it fits.
Who wins? Who wins?
Double. See? There you go.
Cody, you get the second pick. What do you want on that list?
Man.
See, here's where you got to go, because I think the bobbleheads are going to be a hot item. Or at least an item that people are going to vote is the hottest item.
But I've been the only guy to take the Cooper replica.
No, actually, that was my first pick.
Would really?
I was planning on taking that.
Okay.
The way I see it, if I were to resell one of these, I can probably get the most money from that one. Right. Oh. That's how I'm thinking about this one.
We're doing snake draft, by the way, so I get two picks right in a row.
I'll take the Yelich bobblehead.
Yelich bobblehead. That will go to Cody. All right. See, the bobbleheads, you got Aguilar, Jeffress. There's no guarantee that Aguilar doesn't get traded, by the way.
Yeah, and if they did trade him, they'd still give out the bobblehead.
And if I have a Josh Hader bobblehead, you know, people got accused of being a certain thing when they cheered for Josh Hader.
Oh, I think
I don't want to be accused of being something for drafting.
Hey,
Josh Hader.
We're beyond that. Until you mention that, we've moved beyond that.
Yeah, that did kind of get swept under the rug.
It didn't get swept under the rug, but it's like we're time to move on at some point.
Then what is the to be announced bobblehead going to be? That could be a guy that's like a breakthrough star. So maybe I want to consider that one. I don't want to not take this, so I'm going to take the fanny pack first.
Okay.
I definitely want that fanny pack.
Do you even ever use a fanny pack?
I would wear it to the games.
Really?
Yeah.
I use one for my wireless speaker, Rhodes. For when I go golfing, I take it with me. I put all my stuff in the... Yeah. It's one I got from covering the NCAA Final Four back in... 92.
I haven't seen a fanny pack like 16 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to bypass bobbleheads in general. I'm going to go fanny pack and trucker hat.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to do, which would leave Cody up for the next pick.
I'll take the short sleeve t-shirt.
All right. Did you like any of my items or no?
No.
All right.
I didn't want either one.
Chuck, you got two picks.
See, I thought the fanny pack you might have gotten a little bit later on.
Yeah, you could have gotten it the last pick.
You
went early for that.
I wanted it badly, and I think the people will vote for me for it.
That's like going after Thon Maker. If you like Thon in the first round, go after
him. That was like taking DJ Wilson in the first round.
Hey, you don't know if he's going to be there. You draft the guy you like.
The guy I like on the Brewers is Jeremy Jeffress. I had a chance to deal with him a few times this past year. Really, I like Jeremy.
You guys are pretty tight now, aren't you?
I like Jeremy. Yeah, I've taken a few selfies with Jeremy. I'm good. I like Jeremy. I wish he was a little bit better in the postseason at times, but, I mean, I can't help that. But I'll take Jeremy Jeffress, the bobblehead.
And then you get another pick.
Oh, the short sleeve t-shirt.
No, I already picked that.
You did?
Yep.
Okay.
So available for you is the can holder, the strap back hat, Hader, Fielder, Aguilar, and to-be-determined bobblehead.
I'll take the TBD, the to-be-determined bobblehead. Banking that's going to be somebody special.
Like Manny Machado when he signs at the Brewers?
No. Mike Moustakas, I was thinking.
Oh,
I hope not, Machado.
All right, Cody, you get a pick?
Let's go with the strap-back hat.
Okay.
Wow.
Those just don't fit me very well. They don't.
Are they adjustable?
Yeah.
So can't you adjust the fit?
It just doesn't fit well. It still doesn't, Rhodes.
And then I get two picks.
My head is not meant for a strap back.
Yeah, there's four items left. There's the can holder, which I have no use for ever. And then there's three bobbleheads.
I hate
Aguilar, Fielder, and Hader.
I don't like can holders.
So I will take Hader's bobblehead, and I will also take Fielder's bobblehead.
Okay.
So then Cody gets to pick between the can holder or Aguilar.
I wonder, is Fielder going to be in a... It's got to be a different kind of pose, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Because
there's a few. There's been a few of them. Yeah.
We might have one in here.
Yeah.
Cody, it's up to you between the can holder or the Aguilar bobblehead.
I'll take the can holder.
Wow, okay.
Over the Aguilar bobblehead?
Yes.
Okay.
I already have a Yelich bobblehead. I'm trying to get some diversity with these picks.
Okay.
All right, so then Chuck, you get Aguilar. So here's what we have in our Brewers giveaway impromptu draft. Chuck Freeman's tickets will get him the Jesus Aguilar bobblehead, the Jeremy Jeffress bobblehead, the to-be-determined bobblehead, and the Cecil Cooper replica jersey. That is not a bad haul for Chuck Freeman.
Double X, hopefully, on the Cecil Cooper.
Cody's got variety. The Christian Yelich bobblehead, the short-sleeve t-shirt, the can holder, and the strap-back hat. I have two bobbleheads, Prince Fielder and Josh Hader. I also have the fanny pack and the trucker hat. We'll put that on Twitter for you guys to vote who is the best pack.
All right, guys, what out of all these, what least would you like to have?
The can holder.
Yeah.
No use for it.
Yeah, that strap back hat, too.
Can holder, and anytime I go to a place and I get a koozie, oh, hey, get a koozie. Oh. I go, oh, thank you. Yeah. Where's your nearest garbage, sir?
Oh, exactly. I was just saying that the other day. This place was handing out koozies at a bar, and I'm like, I don't want one of those. Put them on. It's just too much of a struggle putting it on, taking it off. And by the time I'm done drinking the beer, it's still cold anyway.
Yeah, I'm the other way. I like them.
Well, what do you do with them? You use them?
Yeah, just put them on your can. I got a Bucks one. Why? I got a Brewers one.
What's
I got
the purpose?
Yeah, I no purpose. I just like them.
Oh.
Does it actually keep them cold?
I don't know. I
haven't
tested it.
Isn't it harder to set down? Yeah. They...
No, I just like it. No. I just like it.
I mean, like a collector's item?
The bottle ones I even hate worse. The bottle koozies?
Oh, yeah. Those are even dumber.
Yeah.
So we'll put this on Twitter.
Most of these giveaways are on Sundays again, a few Friday nights.
Yeah, when people are going to games anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe a midweek one would do you right.
Try doing it on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah. Hey, coming up, we'll cover everything we did not cover, including the possibility that the Packers play in London next season. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Cody Grant, our producer, he's here. Packers, could they play in London next year? Five games to be played internationally in 2019. Four will be in London. One will be in Mexico City. What we found out was the teams that will lose a home game. The Jaguars, as they usually do, they'll probably be in London. The Buccaneers, the Raiders, who they don't have a home next year, so... They at least got one game set up. And then the Rams and the Chargers. Now, that's interesting for Packer fans because the Packers play at the Chargers next year. Some rumblings that maybe that game is in London. But the talk around Lambeau yesterday was that that game will be played in Los Angeles. We'll find out when the NFL announces for sure. But with Rob Demosky tweeting and all these other reports, it seems like the Packers will hold off the London trip for yet another year.
Now, the reports say international games. Does that necessarily mean London, or does it mean
for London,
Mexico City, too?
For London, one of those games will be in Mexico City.
If the field's ready.
Yeah, if the field's
ready. Well, they've got a year to do it.
Yeah, well, they had
a year last
before.
Time.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to try to do it again.
So you saw where the Chargers and Packers are definitely going to be in L.A.?
That's the report.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Demosky said he talked to some people of ESPN in the building. And they're pretty confident it's not going to be in London.
Okay. I thought that would be the game. Okay.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out next year. But for a guy like me who's been waiting for them to go to London so I could go take that trip, I think I'll still be waiting. Based on the reports, NFL schedule a long way from being finalized.
The Packers played in Japan a long time ago, an exhibition game.
When was that?
That was the year after they went to the Super Bowl. They played an exhibition game in Japan. And I know they won 13-10. They won on a late field goal. But that's the last time they've been overseas.
Well, maybe they will go there this year. We'll find out. Cody, what did we miss?
Yeah, Las Vegas is officially named the host for the 2020 NFL Draft.
I was looking at something. Say it again.
So I'm trying to put the poll up, so I'm trying to like give you nonverbal cues. I don't want to talk for 45 seconds.
No. There's
the verbal cue.
No.
You guys talk.
Here's what I wanted to do. When I said Super Bowl, I meant Super Bowl 31.
Okay.
I didn't want people to think, oh, no, it didn't go this past Super Bowl, and it was Super Bowl 31.
When Cody says these stories, we both need to listen.
Okay, Rhodes, say it again.
Las Vegas Rams. Nevada.
Yeah.
Officially named host for the 2020 NFL Draft.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Vegas is gambling's happening. Gambling is going to happen. Sports gambling is happening. It's going to happen in all these states, including our state, eventually. So, you know, this. You know, Vegas is part of our country too. we act like Vegas is like in a different.
Nothing gets past you, Frames.
We like Vegas is like in a different world.
Well, it's crazy, too, because, like, just the history of betting and the NFL and all sports, really, how far they've come to really embracing it.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have a team in Vegas.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have the draft in Vegas.
They had the NBA All-Star game.
The draft, how many players go into the draft and, you know, like, mess up the night before the draft?
Yeah.
Now you put them in Vegas? Like, that's what I'm interested in.
Well, behave yourself, then. You know, the players got to behave themselves, so I think that's fine.
As Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV
be a good character test.
Pointed out, Tony Romo was going to have a fantasy draft a few years ago that the NFL stepped in, got involved in, and canceled because it was going to be held at a casino. Mm. 3 short years later, they announced they're going to host a draft in Vegas. Yeah. So it's like, okay, we're happy you're all on board here, but what were the opportunities that were missed before this?
I think
that's the...
They just opened the door. They opened the door a few years ago.
Game tonight?
Yeah, Kansas City -3.5 hosting the Chargers. Who you got?
Kansas City hosting the Chargers, man.
I guess I would take...
Boy, Kansas City got away with their lives the other night.
I guess I would take Kansas City.
No, I think the Chargers will win outright. I like the Chargers coming on. I think the Chargers. I'll take the Chargers
plus
3.
I'll take the Chiefs. You want to go on it?
Yes.
I have a bloody nose.
Are you all right?
My nose is...
Oh, my God.
Gushing blood.
Jeez. Okay, Rhodes, you and
yeah,
I here?
Yeah, I'll finish the show. Bart, go get cleaned up.
Yeah, okay. And I didn't even punch Bart in the mouth. In the nose. Rhodes, NBA game you like at all?
Not real. I'll text you later.
Okay.
Hey, I want the Chiefs.
Jeez.
We both got Chiefs.
This show is ending in a weird way.
Holy.
Do you get bloody nose normally?
All right, we gotta go. Jeez. We're back tomorrow at 6.